Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Vochim Daf Kuf. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Just click it on. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Gemara will begin from the very bottom of Daf Tzadi Tes Omid Beis. You will notice that there is a name, Rav Mori, in a triangle. The triangle in our marking system represents a series of something. In this case, this is a series of answers trying to resolve the two sources that we've seen with regard to Shitas Rabbi Shimon and the status of an Onin with regard to his bringing a Korban Pesach. An Onin is an individual whose close relative passed away and has not yet been buried. So on the 14th of Nisan, we have a person who is an Onin. The 14th of Nisan is the time, the date on which a Korban Pesach is brought. We saw two sources, and we're in the middle of a series. We've already learned two answers, Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes, in trying to resolve the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, as we discussed at the end of our previous shiur. So as we continue with a third resolution, that of Rav Mori, and this also is noted as a long marking. You can see that we've written in Rav Mori's name to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line, which takes you down about six lines from the top of Kuf Amud Aleph. So one should realize that all of this is Rav Mori's resolution to the two positions that were stated with regard to Rabbi Shimon, where in one source, Rabbi Shimon said that an Onin can send his korban and is tovel, immerses himself at the end of the day and eats his korban Pesach at night. And the second source included, under Rabbi Shimon's name, a restriction of an Onin in sending his korban Pesach to be processed, to be offered. So Rav Mori Omar, the Gemara continues, Lo Kashya, there is no contradiction. This marking, you can see the double underline with dots in it, is used to emphasize the low kashya comment, whereby each shita offers his resolution for the understanding of the two sources. So you'll see this double underline used under number four as well. When we get to Abaye's answer a few lines down from here, you'll see that Lo Kashya appears again with the double underline, and we'll see that at the top of Kuf Amud Beis, where Rava's name is in a triangle, a fifth resolution, and also the expression Velo Kashya with the double underline resolution of the two sources. So here Rav Mori says Lo Kashya Kan Shemes Lo Meis B'Yudalit V'Kovroi B'Yudalit Kan Shemes Lo Meis B'Yud Gimel V'Kovroi B'Yudalit. The Gemara itself will explain this answer. One source is dealing with a situation where the relative died on the 14th and the burial was on the 14th. That will be the case, we'll see shortly, where the Onin cannot send his Korban Pesach. Kan, the source that allowed for it, namely the first of the Reb Shimon sources, is Shemes Lo Meis B'Yud Gimel, the Kavro B'Yudalit, where the relative died on the 13th of Nisan, and only the burial took place on the 14th. And now, as we said, the Gemara explains, you'll notice that we have a little Aleph written in here, just, and this parallels the Aleph at the first line as well. Meis Lo Meis B'Yudalit, the Kavro B'Yudalit, Yoim Misa Toifes Leilo Midoraisa. When the day of the death will draw the following evening on a Torah level. In other words, if in this case the 14th was the day of death, that means that he has an Torah onain status, a Doraisa onain status on the 14th daytime, that will draw along with it the following night, the night on which the 15th enters. So that's what's meant by Yom Misa, the day of death, Tofes Leilo Midoraisa. Therefore, the individual has there's no point in his sending a Korban Pesach. He's restricted from sending the Korban Pesach on the 14th because the night after that he won't be able to eat it anyway because of this principle of Yom Misa Tofes Leilo Midoraisa. However, Beis, Meis Lo Meis Biyugimel, if the death took place on the 13th of Nisan, the Kovroi Biyudalid, and the burial was on the 14th, Yoim Kvura Midrabonan, the onain status that a person has on the day of burial, when the day of burial is not the day of death, as in this case where the day of death was a day before, so the 14th being a day of burial alone, Eino Tofes Leilo Ela Midrabonan, the rabbinic status that the 14th day has does not enable it to draw along with it the 14th at night, the night after the 14th, meaning the night which ushers in the 15th. Therefore, he can send this onain, this example of aninus, of an onain whose the 14th of Nisan, which is the date for bringing the Korban Pesach, is not a Torah level onain status. It's a rabbinic onain status. He sends his Korban Pesach to the Beis HaMikdash to be slaughtered, and he will be able to eat of it the following night, the night after the 14th, the night of the 15th, that ushers in the 15th, which is the time everyone sits around to eat the Korban Pesach. At this point, you can see this is the end of Rav Mori's resolution to the two sources. So briefly, the source where Rabbi Shimon says that an onain does send his Korban Pesach in and eats of it in the evening, that's the case where the death was on the 13th and the burial was on the 14th. The source that included the onain as prohibiting him from participating in the Korban Pesach, that's the case where the death took place on the 14th of Nisan. Amar Lei Rav Ashi L'Rav Mori. Rav Ashi addresses Rav Mori, who just gave us his resolution, and says, V'elaha dekotoni. In the source that was on Tzadi Tes Amud Beis, and we have a little star to the right-hand side of the Gemara text in order to help you find where this quote is coming from. There is a two-line Tanaic quote. As you can see, it's in a frame, as are all Tanaic sources that appear in our Gemara marking system. In that source, you have Rabbi Shimon responding to Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, Amar lo Rabbi Shimon. Let's point out, after Rabbi Yehuda said that Aninus Laila is Midivrei Torah, Rabbi Shimon said to Rabbi Yehuda that Aninus Laila is not Midivrei Torah. It's Aninus Laila, the night after the day of Aninus, is rabbinic. And this is where Rabbi Shimon Teda, I can show you that the night that follows is only of a rabbinic nature. Sharei Omru Oinein Tova Vilchol Es Pischol Erev Avalo Bekotshim. The Onain is able to immerse himself, and on the evening after the immersion, he's able to eat of his Korban Pesach on the night following the 14th. But he can't eat of other sacrifices, other kochim. Well, if we're making an allowance for him to eat the kochim, the Pesach, that is, and not the kochim, but we are allowing him to eat the Pesach, that shows us that Aninus Laila is the Rabbanan. And Rabbi Shimon was saying this in response to Rabbi Yehuda. Well, if what Rav Mori said as a resolution of the two Rabbi Shimons is correct, ne mole, couldn't Rabbi Yehuda have said back to Rabbi Shimon And he doesn't say this. But couldn't he have said, Ko aminu lo chano yoimisa doraisa? When I said aninus laila is doraisa, I was talking about where it's the night after the day of death. The amris li at yom kivura drabonan. And you are saying to me a different case, namely the day of Yom Kavura, where the 14th wasn't the day of Misa. According to your answer, according to Rav Mori's explanation of that source, Rabbi Shimon was simply talking about a different case than the case Rabbi Yehuda was describing. So, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda say, let's go over this point again, if Rav Mori's resolution of the sources is correct, so why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda respond to Rabbi Shimon like we just said, where Rabbi Yehuda was talking about one case and Rabbi Shimon was talking about a different case? Now, the fact that Rabbi Yehuda did not say this back to Rabbi Shimon, Kashia, this represents a problem for Rav Mori's understanding of that source, the source in which Rabbi Shimon appeared on the heels of Rabbi Yehuda. Apparently, Rabbi Shimon is going further than the explanation Rav Mori offered. Apparently, if Rabbi Yehuda was referring to the 14th, the night after the 14th as Doraisa, and that's clearly the night after the day of the death, Rabbi Shimon was also addressing that case, the night after the day of death, and calling it merely the Rabbonan. And that's not like the way Rav Mori explained things. Hence, the Gemara leaves that point off Kashya, meaning this represents a difficulty for Rav Mori's explanation of Rabbi Shimon's leniency. Abaye Omar. Abaye is a fourth approach, and it's worth noting that Rashi is helps you along with the structure of the Gemara, and he says, Abai Omar, Idi Vidi Biomisa. Both sources are talking about Yomisa. Ula Oilom Aninus Laila, the Rebbe Shimon equals the Rabbonan. So, with that introduction that Rashi offers, we continue in the Gemara, Abai Omar, and we also should note that we have a new geometric form. This volcano shape or trapezoid is featured on the outside margin. You see the Mivne heading, where the narrow part is facing upwards. That's Ma'akav al Tshuvas Abaye, and it's an attempt to keep track of Abaye's answer. And with the narrow part facing downwards, this represents a Nisayon L'Tchois, an attempt to respond or reject Abaye's answer. So as you skim ahead on the Daf Gemara, you'll see Abaye offers a resolution, and we have a long marking that accompanies his resolution. So you'll note that this number 4, the long marking you could see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. It goes down quite a few lines, and then this form will be inverted. And it will then straighten up again with the narrow part facing up the second line before it gets wide, where we'll be reinstating, or where the resolution of Abaye will be strengthened. So Abaye says, Omar, Abaye Omar, Loi Kashya. The two Rabbi Shimon sources are not contradictory. Kan Shemes Koidem Chatzos, Kan Shemes Achar Chatzos. And as we saw in Rashi, both sources are addressing the case of the death happened on the 14th. It just depends, did the death take place before midday, before Chatzos, or after midday? What's the significance of midday, of the 14th of Nisan? Well, after midday, that is the time that's appropriate for the bringing of the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach was to be brought in the afternoon hours of the 14th. So the Gemara explains, Abaye explains, Koidem Chatzos, if the death took place, the death of the relative took place before midday, Delo Echsi LePesach, the time before before midday is a time that's not Echsi, fitting for the bringing of the Korban Pesach, Chayla Ole Aninus, so the Aninus status takes hold. And as a result of that, he is restricted from bringing the Korban Pesach, because the Anina status takes hold. However, Acher Chatzos, if the death of the relative took place after noon, the Echsil Pesach, as noon passed, he first became fit for bringing the Korban Pesach, fit and we'll say obligated to bring the Korban Pesach. So once he becomes obligated in the bringing of the Korban Pesach, lo chaylo ole aninus. So that preempts the aninus status from taking hold, even though a relative dies. But he has already become obligated in bringing the Korban Pesach, so he must take care of it. And that's the source where you see Rabbi Shimon says that he's Tovel v'ochel es pischol erev. Umino temro deshoni le bein kodem chatzos bein lachar chatzos. From where do we know that there is a distinction to be made between the cases of pre-chatzos and after-chatzos? So the next number of lines of Gemara will present two sources, and the resolution of the two seemingly contradictory sources will be the illustration of this distinction between before Chatzos and after Chatzos. So we have Desanya. This is source number one, and we've indicated that with a little one in a diamond. The Pasuk describes halachas regarding a kohen and his exposure to defilement as a result of a death, of a dead body. The pasuk says, "Lo yitamo," he shall defile himself unto her mitzvah. This is an obligation for him to become tamei. Lo rotzo mitamen oiso al korcho. If the kohen does not want to become tamei, we will forcibly mitame him. Umaisa biyosef hakohen shemeso ishto be'erev hapesach. An incident happened where Yosef the kohen, his wife died on erev Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. Velo rotzo litame, and he did not want to defile himself. Ve'nimnu echov hakohenim v'timuhu ba'al korcho, and the fellow Kohanim decided that he must become Tomei, and they forcibly were Metamehim. So in this source you see the Kohen on Erev Pesach needing to become Tomei to, in this case, his wife, which is one of the close relatives. V'raminhi v'la'acholso. There's another pasuk in which the Torah describes a nozir who has also restrictions to with regard to tumas mace. The relevant psukim to the topic of nozir have been included on the inside margin, where you see it says Bamidbor vav pasuk vav. Let's just read the psukim briefly. Kol yemei haziroi lashem al nefesh mace lo yovo. All the days of his nazirus, the nazir is warned not to have contact with a dead individual. La'oviv uli'imoi, to father, mother, la'ochiv, la'choso, brother, sister, lo yitamo, he shall not defile himself, lohem, b'moisom, in their death, ki nezer elokov al rosho, for the crown of the Almighty is on his head. Namely, it's an expression referring to his naziru status. You see that the Torah warns the nazir not to defile himself to all of these different relatives. So the source is taken from that topic, and it says Ula Achoisoi. We've called this Veraminhi with a number 2 above it. As you'll see shortly, this source appears to contradict the previous source. It says the Pasuk says Ula Achoisoi Ma Tam Lomar. Why is there a need for the Torah to feature not to defile to one sister when a lot of other relatives were already mentioned? So the source points out that from this seemingly extra citation, we include a new case. Harei shaholach lishchot es pischoi v'lo mul es benoi. A person is on his way to offer his korban pesach or to circumcise his son. Circumcision, by the way, is something that's me'akev, without which he cannot do his korban pesach. it's ma'akiv him from eating of the Korban Pesach. So ma'akiv means it's a binding requirement that if one's son is not circumcised, so a father cannot eat of his Korban Pesach. So he's on his way to offer his Korban Pesach and to circumcise his son. V'shama shemes lo meis, and he heard that a relative died. Yochol yitame, can he defile himself? Amris lo yitamo. The pasuk says that he is not to defile himself. Yochol kishem shelo yitame lachosukach ein mitame lemeis mitzvah. Are we to assume just like there's a restriction of defiling oneself to a relative, in this case the sister, is he also prohibited from defiling himself to a meis mitzvah? This is a situation of a body found outside, a found body, and no one is taking care of his burial. Is he, this nazir, also not to defile himself for the purpose of burying the meis mitzvah? Tamad lomar. V'la'achoso. La'achoso hu deino metame, avo metame hu lemeis mitzvah. The Torah has a special allowance, a special clause that insists on the nazir defiling himself to a meis mitzvah. What we see from here, though, is that through our markings, you see this dashed, underlined, lachoso hu de'eno metame. The source before indicated that they were metamehim baal korchoi, and it's important to note that a nozir and a kohen have, in a manner of speaking, have a similar restrictions with regard to tumas meis. Both are prohibited to metame in general to the dead. A nozir has a very high status in the sense that in general he's not allowed to metame to even close relatives, similar to a kohen gadol who is not allowed to metame to close relatives. We see these two sources. The first source, though, saying that in the face of the Korban Pesach, he was not going to do the Korban Pesach because they were metame him baal korchoi. So as we say, the two sources seem to be contradictory. The first source indicating that even though it's Erev Pesach, they were metame him baal korchoi, and the second source, which also features the issue of the Pesach, and they said he is not to become Tomei, and rather the Pesach seems to take precedence. Elo lav, the Gemara goes on, Elo lav, Shma mino kan koidim chatzois, kan lachar chatzos. The source that indicated Timuhu baal korcho is because the death took place before chatzos, and therefore at that point there had been no Pesach obligation, because it was before midday. Therefore, the aninus status takes hold. And the second source, where it said he's not to be metame, that's talking about a case where the death took place after chatzos, where the chiyuv, the obligation of doing the Pesach, preempted the aninus status. So from this, from the resolution of these two sources, we see Abaye's answer, Abaye's resolution to the two presentations of Rabbi Shimon. At this point in our markings, we have a bracket that takes you from here to the bottom of the page, and an explanation found at the starred note at the inside margin, Sograyim Elu Einom L'Shem Diluk. The purpose of these brackets is not for the standard purpose that we use brackets for skipping. Elo boim laharois, they rather come to show the ad kan ikur hatshuva, up till this point was the main answer, the primary answer. B'socham yesh nisayon lahalois yishuv acher avol nidche. Let's say that point again, that up till this point we have completed Abaye's answer. Within the brackets there is an attempt to reject this approach, and then we will reinstate this approach. And this you can see with the use of the trapezoid volcano form flipping back and forth. So the Gemara now asks, Mimai, who is to say that this is the resolution? Maybe both sources are talking about a case of the death taking place after Chatzos. In other words, the two sources that we just saw labeled with little numbers 1 and 2 with diamonds around them are talking both about cases of death after Chatzos. And as such, the obligation of the Pesach takes hold. So you'll ask, if that be the case, so then why would the first source say they were Metamehim? And so the Gemara explains. The source number two that says they are not to Metamehim, in other words, the Pesach takes precedence, that would be according to Rabbi Shmuel, and which we will see shortly what his opinion presented in a source. And source number one that says they were Metam, that's according to Rabbi Kiva, the Sanya. We have the following Tanaic source in which both of these opinions appear. Law Yitamo equals Rishus. The Pasuk that features Law Yitamo, a Kohen exposing himself to defilement as a result of the death of his relative. According to Rabbi Shmuel, this is a Rishus. It's an option. It's not an obligation. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Omer Chova, that it is an obligation on the part of the Kohen to expose himself to the Tuma. Therefore, source number two, which says he should not be Metame himself, that's according to Rabbi Shmuel, that says that the whole idea of a Kohen exposing himself to defilement is itself an option. But since we're talking about death after Chatzos, and the Pesach obligation has set in, therefore he should not Metame himself. However, source number one, which says they were Metame in Bal Korcho, that's according to Rabbi Akiva, which says that even though the Pesach obligation has set in, nevertheless there's a chiyuv, there's an obligation to expose oneself to Tumas Meis of a close relative. And as far as the Pesach is concerned, well, there's makeup time for that Pesach Sheni. The Gemara continues and says that this explanation of the two sources that we had with little diamonds, little numbers with diamonds around them, cannot be set up like we just tried, saying that source one is Rabbi Akiva and source two is Rabbi Shmuel. Lo salka daitoch. You cannot suggest that source number two would have been authored by Rabbi Shmuel. The resha dahi Rabbi Akiva kotani lo. The resha of source number two, the source that we call Achosel, the resha, the early part, the first part of that source is taught by Rabbi Akiva. Hence, both sources, according to this particular approach, would have to be according to Rabbi Akiva, and that we can't leave that as it is. Therefore, it is necessary to say that one is talking about before Chatzos, where the death took place before Chatzos, and the other source, where he's not to be Metame himself, is where the death took place after Chatzos. So the Gemara now proves, or points out, that source number two cannot be set up according to Rabbi Shmuel, because the resha of that source, of the Achosa source, was taught by Rabbi Akiva. And here the Gemara presents the entire source. The Sanya, Rabbi Akiva Omer. Before we go too much further, we might just want to point out that you'll note at the in this source, the source dealing with Achoso appears, and you can see that by simply navigating with the little arrows we've provided to the left hand side of the Gemara text. If you skim down a few lines in this new source, you'll see an arrow to the left-hand side of the text opposite the third wide line. Compare what you see there. The second word from the inner line says, "Ulachoso ma tamad lomar." That, in fact, is where this source number two was coming from. And therefore, since you see that this quote of "Ulachoso ma tamad lomar," which was number two above, is part of a source that was authored by Rabbi Akiva, you cannot possibly say that it is according to Rabbi Yishmael. So here we have the source quoted, it's in entirety. The Rabbi Akiva Omer Nefesh Elu Hakrivim, Mace Elu Horachoikim. These are words that are coming from the Pasuk dealing with the Nazir that we have already cited and written on the inside margin. So the Nazir is warned against defining himself to relatives and to non-relatives, L'Aviv, Eino Metame. It also features in Pasuk Zion the father, Avo Metame Hu, the Meis Mitzvah. That even though he can't be defiled to his father, cannot defile himself for the purpose of participating in the funeral of his father, nevertheless, to a found body, he can. Le'imoi, what does that teach me? Shimhoya koyen, v'hu nozir. If he's a koyen and a nozir, le'imo hu deino metame, avo metame hu le'meis mitzvah. Even though he has this double level of sanctity as a result of his being a koyen and a nozir, if it's a question of a meis mitzvah, he must defile himself. Le'ochiv, Sheim, what is the Ochiv teach me? Sheim hoya kain godol, for who nazir? If he has both of these sanctities on him, he's a high priest and he's also a nazir. The Ochiv who deino mitam, avo mitam who the meis mitzvah. But for a meis mitzvah, even though he has this high level sanctity, nevertheless he must take care of the found body. Ulachoso ma talmud lomar. So what does achoso teach me? That seems to be an extra an unnecessary inclusion. So we will see a chiddush here. By the way, as we mentioned before, this is the source that we saw quoted above, number two above. Harei shahalach lishvod es pisul v'omos benoi. He's on his way to shech the korban pesach to circumcise his son. V'shomash meis lo meis, and heard that a relative of his died. Yochol yitame, can he defile himself? Amris lo yitamo. He is not allowed to defile himself. Yochuk shem shem metama chosu kach eno metama the meis mitzvah. Just like he cannot be metama himself to his sister, is he also restricted from taking care of the found body? Tamaloma lachoso. The Torah emphasizes the relative, the sister, lachoso lo yitama. That is what he's not allowed to defile himself to. Avol yitamehu the meis mitzvah. But if it's a question of a meis mitzvah, even though he has all of these, we'll call them sanctities and ritual obligations, nevertheless, he must metam himself to the meis mitzvah and thereby not do the korban pesach. As you can see, the brackets end here, but as we explained before, Abaye's main resolution of the two sources from Tzadi Tesel Mebeis with regard to Shitas Rabbi Shimon, Abaye's resolution was simply to say that one Rabbi Shimon was talking about a case of the death taking place before Chatzos, and that is the situation where the Onain is restricted from doing the Korban Pesach. And the earlier source where Rabbi Shimon featured the Onain participating in the evening, in the eating of the Korban Pesach, that's because the case featured the death taking place after Chatzos, where the Pesach obligation set in first. Rava Omar, as we turn to the top of Kuf Amid Beis, Rava's resolution is as follows, Idi v'idi, Achar Chatzos. Both Rabbi Shimon's sources, and it's also interesting to note Rashi, who's very sensitive to structure, and that's what our marking system is based on. You can see Rashi at the top, Rav Omar, Amilsei de Rabbi Shimon Koi. Rava is going back to the resolution of the Rabbi Shimon seeming contradiction, and that's what our triangles are designed to illustrate. And the Shnuye, the Rabbi Shimon of Shimon, to answer the seeming contradictions in Rabbi Shimon. So Rava tells us that both sources on Tzadi Tesamud Beis that feature Rabbi Shimon are talking about a case of the death taking place after Chatzos. And if the death took place after Chatzos, so you'll ask yourself, isn't it so that the Pesach obligation set in first? The Lo Kashya. Kan Koidem Sheshochtoi V'zorku Alav. the source that says he shall not bring the Korban Pesach, the second, the latter Rabbi Shimon source, that's a case where the death took place before they slaughtered and sprinkled the blood of his Korban Pesach. So that even though it's after Chatzos, the time on the clock is not sufficient to allow the Korban Pesach to preempt his Aninus status. Rava takes a more, we'll call, practical approach, practical in the sense of, has the Pesach been slaughtered already or not? So if it has not been slaughtered, namely the death took place before the Pesach was slaughtered, even though you're after Chatzos, he is not to bring his Korban Pesach. Kan, la'achar sheshochtu v'zorku alav. The source that says that the oinin is toivel v'yochel erev is a case where first they slaughtered and sprinkled the blood of the Korban Pesach, and then the relative died. So since the Korban Pesach was already done, therefore the aninus status does not take hold, and therefore he is not restricted that evening in eating of the Korban Pesach. Omer le Rav Ado bar Matono le Rava. Achar sheshochtu v'zorku es domoi. If you're setting up the source in which Rabbi Shimon allows him to partake of his Korban Pesach as a case where they already slaughtered and sprinkled the blood of his Korban Pesach, what's happened has happened, meaning they've already done the Korban Pesach. Why in the world should that fact enable him to eat the Korban Pesach? After all, Aninus Laila is the Rabbanon, the Aninus status that exists the night after the death is at least of a rabbinic nature. Let's take a look at Rashi. Hare Niftar, he's already fulfilled his obligation. The Pesach was slaughtered, and only after that did the death of the relative take place. Why in the world should his eating of the Korban Pesach, specifically of the Korban Pesach, push off the Aninus, the rabbinic Aninus status that he has at night? Tfei Mishar Kochim. More so than we said by other Kochim, namely, by other sacrifices, we would not allow him to partake of them, and yet the Korban Pesach, we're saying, he shall partake of them. The Gemara continues, Onale Ravina. Ravina, who was the Rebbe, the Rav, of the teacher of Rav Ado, Ravina says to Rav Ado, who had asked Rava the question, so Ravina interjects and says, Achilas psochim me'akfo midarabo baravuna. The eating of the Korban Pesach is a binding feature of the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach. Since without the eating, he hasn't fulfilled his Pesach requirement, the eating of the Korban Pesach, since the death took place after the Pesach was already slaughtered, so all of the Pesach obligations take hold, set upon this individual, and therefore we don't reckon with his rabbinic Aninus state that evening. And that's based on the teaching of Rabba Bar Rav Huna, which will be featured later. Omar le Rava le Rav Ado. Now Rava was the one to whom the question of Rav Ado was addressed. So Rava says to Rav Ado, Tzayis, mai dekoma loch raboch. Tzayis, listen, hearken unto what your teacher has told you. In other words, Rava is expressing his approval of the answer that Ravina gave to Rav Ado's question. Now, Ravina mentioned that Achilas Psochem is Ma'akev based on Rabo Baravuna's teaching. Mai the Rabo Baravuna. What is that teaching? So in order to convey this idea of Achilas Psochem Akva with Rabo Baravuna as a part of the answer, we are providing with the markings a long answer marking. You'll notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a tough that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. This takes you to the fifth wide line of the Gemara. All of these lines form the answer to the question of what is meant by Rabo Barav Huna. So let's continue now in the Gemara. And actually, before reading the Gemara itself, let's take advantage of the introductory notes and topic headings that we have for this particular Gemara. In the outside margin, there's a nosei, a topic heading. Hamokar l'shitas Rabba Rav Huna, d'achilas psachim akva. We'll find the source for Rabba's teaching that the consumption of the Korban Pesach is binding. Yesh l'tzayin, d'shitasai. We should point out that his opinion, Havi Toitzah, will be the result of Midarko Beyishuv Stira Bein Reisha L'Seifa Bebraisa Amuva Behemshech, will be the result of his, of Rabba Rav Huna's resolution of a seeming contradiction between an early and later section within a Braisa that will be presented in the Gemara. So as a result of Rabba Rav Huna's resolution of a seeming contradiction, we will reveal that he holds that achilas psachim is ma'akev. We'll have a source very shortly that we're about to read in the Gemara. The source features a situation where a person hears of the death of a close relative within 30 days of the relative's demise. The hearing of the death is called Yoim Shmua. In other words, we have a person who was not aware of the relative's death. The death of a relative, of course, imposes upon an individual, according to Jewish law, laws of avelus, mourning, laws of mourning, which include restrictions during the first 7 days, and then an additional period of time up till the 30 days since the death, and other halachas as well, without getting into details. For our purposes, we have a little note on the inside margin. You'll notice a little star featuring the expression Yoim Shmua, the hearing of the departure of a relative, of a death of a relative, within 30 days of that relative's death. What happens when someone hears of their passing? So, Kiyom Kavura L'mitzvah Shivu Shloshim. That day will be considered like the day of burial, even though the burial may have taken place up till the 29 days before. It's as if the burial for this person that heard about the relative's death, as we say, up till 30 days later, it's as if that's the day of the burial with regard to observing the 7 and 30 days of mourning. In other words, from that point that he heard about the death, even though they heard about the death, it's as if for him the burial took place that very day, the day that he hears about it, and he has to observe from that day 7 days of mourning plus which are part of a 30-day mourning period. There's another point here that the Yom Shmua is Kiyom Likud Atzamos LaAchilas Psachim. Likud Atzamos is the gathering of bones. That's a situation where a relative is reinterred. That's literally the gathering of the bones. The halacha of the Yom Likud Atzamos is such that it does not cause the observance of 7 days of mourning, but the day itself, when the Atzamos are gathered, one must observe a state of mourning during the day itself. The question here concerns, what about the eating of a Korban Pesach? Let us say, if bones are gathered, let's say, during the daytime of the 14th of Nisan, what is the law with regard to such an individual, the relative of that individual, and his eating of the Korban Pesach? So if you classify Yom Shmua like Yom Likud Atzamos, that will in effect tell us that evening he will be able to eat of the Korban Pesach. If, however, we were to categorize the Yom Shmua as Yom Kavura with regard to Achilas Pesach, we in effect would be telling you could not eat of the Korban Pesach. so that the Yom Kvura, the day of Kvura, would take in the night as well. Therefore, it will be necessary to if you want him to eat of the Korban Pesach, we'll have to categorize that Yom Shmuah as Yom Likut Atzamos. Everything we've said now is simply by way of introduction. Let's now see the Gemara. Desanya, Yom Shmuah, the day of the hearing of the death of a departed one. And we're assuming that we're telling you that this halacha of Yom Shmuah is within 30 days of the actual death. So we say the Yom Shmuah is Kiyom Kavura leMitzvas Shiva V'Shloshim, that from that day that he hears, he'll have to observe the 7 and 30 days of mourning. Ulachivas Psachim Kiyom Likud Atzamos, the Yom Shmuah with regard to his eating of Korban Pesach will have the status of the day of Likud Atzamos. Echod Zeh VeEchod Zeh Toivel VeOichel BeKodshim LoErev. This phrase will be the subject of the Gemara's discussion. Ha gufa kashya. There seems to be an inherent contradiction in this source. Amris, on the one hand, you said, Yoim shmua ki yoim kvura lemitzvah shivu shloshim, ulachilas psachim ki yoim likur atzamos. That the Yom Shmua, with regard to the eating of the Korban Pesach, is not viewed as the Yom Kvura. And as a result of us calling the Yom Shmuah with regard to Chilas Pesach as simply Likud Atzamos, he's able to Toivov Eichel B'Kodshim, he's Toivov Eichel Bo'erev. Michlal, we can infer from that, the Yom Kvura Afilu Lo'erev Nami Lo Ochil. That if we were going to call the Yom Shmuah like Yom Kvura, then even in the evening that follows the Yom Kvura, he would not be able to eat even of the Pesach. So at this point, by using our markings, we're emphasizing several expressions: Yom Kvura, Erev Lo Ochil, the Hodar Toni, and then the same source teaches Echod Zeh VeEchod Zeh Toivel v'Oichel b'Kodshim lo erev. Now the expressions Echod Zeh seem to include the Yom Kavura and as well as the Yom Shmua, that he is able to immerse himself in a mikveh and eat of Kodshim, of sacrifices, and certainly of the Korban Pesach lo erev. Once again, turning to our markings, we've emphasized the expression Yom Kavura that we wrote in between the lines, and with a dashed underline, we have Yom Kvura and Ochel La'erev. He does eat. So just focusing for the time being on categorizing or on the status of Yom Kvura and the evening after the day of burial of a close relative, what is the law with regard to the eating of the Korban Pesach? From the Resha, it seemed that Yom Kvura La'erev Lo'achil. From the Seifa, it seems that Yom Kvura Oichel Lo'erev. That's a contradiction. Omar Rav Chista Tanoihi. The issue is a machlokas Tanoim that will be discussed later in the Gemara. The Rabba Barav Huna, whose name appears with a dashed underline as well as the house marking, but for right now we want to emphasize the dashed underline because this is the whole reason this section of Gemara is brought in. He says, Rabba Barav Huna Omar Lo Kashia. Kan sheshoma shmua almesoi somuch lishkias achamo, v'chein sheliktu lo atzamo somuch lishkias achamo, v'chein shemes lo meis v'kovro somuch lishkias achamo. The source that says toivel that he's oichel erev, that's a case where the different things took place. Either he heard about the relative's death, or there was Likud Atzamos, or there was an actual death and a burial all before Shkiyas Achama. All of these cases are not Tofes the Layla, the Layla. V'kan Li'achar Shkiyas Achama. And the other situation is after Shkiyas HaChama. Let us now go over we should actually point out that we say here, Kan Lachar Shkiyas HaChama is where the, let's say, Meis Lo Meis and Kovroi was all after Shkiyas HaChama. That means they already processed the Korban Pesach. It's really this case that that we explained that Yom Shmua is Kiyom Likud Atzamos, because had it been classified as Yom Kvura, he would have been restricted. That's talking about a case where these things took place after Shkiyas HaChama. In other words, he already slaughtered the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach takes place before Shkiyas HaChama. Being that he already slaughtered the Korban Pesach, who cares then what happens after Shkiyas HaChama? The Gemara asks, La'achar Shkiyas HaChama, mai dehave have? What has happened has happened. He's already offered his Korban Pesach. So why is it that we're allowing him to eat the Korban Pesach by virtue of our categorizing the Yom Shmua as Yom Likud Atzamos? So why are we allowing him to eat the Korban Pesach? He's already offered it. Shma Mino, we see from here, Achilas Psochim Me'akvo, that the eating of the Korban Pesach is a binding feature of the mitzvah. So since they already offered the Korban Pesach, he has to complete the mitzvah. Let us go over these last couple lines, the answer of Rabbah Rav Huna, with some added notes. Well, starting from Rabbah Rav Huna again, where he's dashed on the line, Rabbah Rav Huna says, Omad Lo Kashya, the two sources regarding Yom Kvura are not contradictory. Kan Sheshoma Shmua Al Meisoi Somoch L'Shkiyas HaChama. The source, the Seifa, that said he's Oichel Erev, is talking about a case where he heard about the death before Shkiyas HaChama. The nighttime will have a din of the night afterwards. And as far as this is concerned, all of the cases that are listed here, whether it be the hearing of the departure, or the gathering of the bones, or the actual death and burial, in all of these cases, they took place before Shkiyas HaChama, therefore, they're not toifes the laila. The Reisha is speaking about a case, the Reisha, which said that lo erev lo ochil, was talking about a case where it happened after Shkia. Therefore, if the Yom Shmua was considered Yom Kvura, he would not have eaten. Therefore, it's necessary for the Reisha to describe the Yom Shmua as Yom Likud Atzamos. And it's because of this that the Halacha allows the eating of only the Korban Pesach and not other Kochim. Once again, the Reisha is talking about a case of after Shkiyas HaChama. The Seifa, on the other hand, which was talking about that the Yom Kavura is Toivel, the Oichel, Bekoshim Erev, that was talking about before Shkias Hachama. And we say that the night is not included, and therefore you find this relaxation or leniency in the halacha. We should point out, and we didn't do so earlier, there's a house marking that is explained in the outside margin under our heading Tatnosei Mivneh. These houses represent Gimel Shitois Liyashev Hastiro Bein Reisha L'Seifa Shel Braisa, three approaches to resolve the seeming contradiction between the Reisha and the Seif of the Braisa, Bedin Shel Yom Kvura, with regard to the halacha of Yom Kavura. Ech hu mashpia achilas kotshim l'erev. How does the day of burial affect the eating of kotshim the following night? Kloimer, haim Yom Kavura toifes es lelo. Does the day of burial include the following night as well? Continuing now in the Gemara, we have the third resolution, Rav Ashi Omar. He says there's no stira with regard to Yom Kavura, because my echod zeh ve'echod zeh. What does that expression mean? And if you note, we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara to help you find where this expression appeared earlier. We thought before that the expression Echod Zeh Ve'Echod Zeh includes Yom Kavura. He says no. Hachikamer Echod Yom Shmua Ve'Echod Yom Likud Atzamois Toivel V'Oichel B'Kotshim Lo'erev. According to Rav Ashi, we're not talking about Yom Kavura at all. So that if you see in the Seifa where it said Echod Zeh Ve'Echod Zeh Toivel V'Oichel B'Kotshim Lo'erev, which is an expression of leniency, we're not talking at all about Yom Kavura. However, the Gemara doesn't approve of Rav Ashi's resolution and says, V'hod Rav Ashi badusa hi. Rav Ashi's resolution is not reliable. He made it up on his own. Michti. The Gemara's dissatisfaction with Rav Ashi's response is essentially a grammatical objection. He says, Michti, alo koi. According to Rav Ashi, the Echod Zeh Ve'Echod Zeh was including the Yom Likud Atzamos. As far as the source is concerned, right before the expression of Echod Zeh Ve'Echod Zeh, you saw the term Likud Atzamos. Therefore, Zeh V'Zeh Miboyalei, instead of saying Echod Zeh Ve'Echod Zeh, it should have simply said Zeh V'Zeh. Elo, Shma Mino Badusahi. Since it didn't use the expression of zeh v'zeh, but rather echod zeh v'echod zeh, it seems to be referring to something other than that which appeared immediately before. Hence, the Seifa, in fact, is talking about Yom Kavura. And therefore, there arose a necessity to resolve a contradiction. At this point, the Gemara now goes back to Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda pointed out that the issue of Yom Kavura, does it include the night, is a machlokes tanoim. We want to point out that the answer or the hesber will appear a bit later in the Gemara. Hence, when the Gemara right now is asking, Umay Tanoi, what is the reference to Machlokes Tanoim Rav Chisda spoke about before, there's a long answer marking that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. All of these lines are here in order to build up to the Machlokes Tanoim that Rav Chisda is referring to. The Sanyo. Ad Mosai Misoinein Olav. How long does Aninus take place with regard to restrictions in eating sacrifices? First opinion, Kol Hayom. The impression that we're getting right now is that Kol means without, not including the following night. Rebbe Omer, Kol Zman Shelo Nikbar. Rebbe seems to be even more lenient and says as long as the relative has not been buried. Namely, the whole day is not forbidden from eating of kochim, of sacrifices. The restriction applies only as long as the individual has not been buried. At the point of burial, immediately he would be mutter, would be allowed to eat of sacrifices. B'mai askinon. This source where you have a machlokes Tanakam and Rebbe, what is it talking about? We have here some diamonds that appear, and it's important to note at the outside margin, the mivneh, nisyonis lahazbir hamokor ad mosai misoinein. Attempts to explain what is the background or what are the circumstances of this case. Shemimenu nilmad besof hatshuva aruka. We will eventually learn at the end of this long answer. Mao hatanoi shehizkir of chizdo liel. So, in an attempt to find out what are the circumstances of this source, we're going to illustrate the different stages with diamonds, and you can see as you skim ahead around four of these as the Gemara goes on. So, in lema biyoyim misa, if you think that this source is talking about the day of death, mi'iko deles le yo misa tofis lelo midorabonon, would anyone hold that the night is not included rabbinically? Vesu, and a further objection, if this we're talking about, a further objection here is Rebbe Oimer calls man shelo nikbar ha kavro ishtri lei. The implication here is from what Rebbe says that the aninus is only applies as long as the relative has not been buried. But if the burial took place, ishtri lei means he becomes mutter, becomes allowed in sacrifices. Could that possibly be? Umi iko delesle vachriso kiyomar? Does anyone suggest that the aninus period is any less than a full day? No. No one would hold less than a full day. So our understanding of Rebbe couldn't possibly be under circumstances where we're talking about Yom Misa, that the actual death took place on that day, and Rebbe would say that the aninus is less than till the end of the day. Omar Rav Sheshes, Ayoim Kvura Koi. The Machlokes Tanoim is not dealing with the day of actual death, but rather the day of the burial, where the death took place the day before. And it says, in that source, it's saying that the night will be allowed. So at this point, according to Rav Sheshes, we have a source which indicates that the aninus would last no longer than the daytime itself, the day of the Yom Kvura, but not including the night. Maskif lo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef objects to Rav Sheshes. He says, Eloho dekotoni, we have the following source from which we will infer that if you're talking about the day of burial, the night time is in fact restricted in the partaking of sacrifices. The source says, Hashomel mesoi v'hamlake atzomois toivel v'oichil b'kotshim lo erev. If one hears about a death, or one gathers the bones of a relative free interment, he is able to immerse himself and partake of kochim that evening. Michlal diyom kvura afilu erev nami loachil. It would imply that if you were talking about not the day of hearing of a relative, but the day of actual burial of a relative. We say that that's about the day of hearing of the death of a relative, but if you were talking about the day of actual burial, we can infer from here, afilu le'erev nami lo achil, the evening would be restricted. So ha'mani, who would be the author of that? If you're going to accept Rav Sheshes's ukimta, the way he established the source with the Tanakam Rebbe is referring to the Yom Kvura, then this Diuk, this inferred point of Yom Kvura taking in the night, would have no authorship. Elo Taritzochi. the expression Teritzachi, you'll see we've emphasized with a double underline. You'll see this again a few lines later. So rather, we have to reestablish or re-understand the source featuring the Machlokas, Tanakam and Rebbe. Ad Mosai Misoinein Olov. Kol Oisoi Hayoim Vilelo. The Aninus will last the whole day, the day of the burial. In this sense, we are accepting Rav Sheshes's Ukimta, who set up the Tanakam and Rebbe as dealing with Yom Kvura. But the Tanakam is saying that the expression he used of Kol Hayom means the whole day and the night. The Rebbe Oimer Kolzman Shelo Nikbar. Avol Nikbar Belo Lelo. The Aninus period extends as long as the relative hasn't been buried. But once the relative has been buried, the Aninus period lasts the rest of the day and not the night. Rebbe, in this case, is forbidding the entire day of the Yom Kavura, but not the night. Relative to the Tanakama, Rebbe is lenient. Amru Rabbonon Kamed Rabbi Yirmiyah. This resolution was stated to Rabbi Yirmiyah, and he responded, Omar, Rabbi Yirmiyah responded, says, Gavra Rabbak Rav Yosef, a great man like Rav Yosef, Lema Hochi, Lemeimra de Rebbe Lekula. According to Rav Yosef's interpretation, he leaves you with Rebbe being the lenient opinion. But we know, says Rav Yirmiyah, that Rebbe is not a lenient opinion in these matters. V'hotanya, we have the following source. Ad Mosai Misoinin Olov. How long does the Aninus period last? Kolzman Shelo Nikbar. Afilu Mikad Arasor Yomim. The very Rebbe. That if a burial has not taken place, even if the body is not interred up till 10 days, he is of an oinein status. The Chachamim ain misoin olov el oisu hayom bilvad. The Chachamim are lenient and say that aninus lasts only that day, but not it wouldn't last up till 10 days. What we see from this source is that Rebbe is a strict opinion. Elo taritzachi. And we have now another interpretation of that source, of the original source featuring the Tanakam and Rebbe, as follows. Ad Mosai hu misoinein olov, kol oisoi hayoim beloi lelo. The day of burial, not including the night. Rebbe Yoimer kolzman shelo nikbar, tofes lelo imo. That as long as a burial hasn't not taken place, the nighttime is included in the restriction. Amrua kame de Rava. This was said over in front of Rava. Midekomar Rebbe Yoim Kvura Toifes Lelo Midrabonan. From the fact that Rebbe is telling you that the Yom Kvura, the day of death, includes the night as well, rabbinically. Michlal de Yomisa Toifes Lelo Midaraisa. It would imply that if we were talking not about the day of burial, but the day of actual death, the night would be included even on a Torah level of restriction. So this brings us to a question. The Sovar Rebbe Aninus Laila Daraiso, does Rebbe hold that Aninus Laila is of a Torah nature, Torah restriction? The Ha'atanya, we have the following source. And in this source, you will see that Rebbe holds that it's Midivrei Sofrim. The source opens with a pasuk, Hein Hayom Ani Hayom Osir. Let's read that again. Hein Hayom Ani Hayom Osir Ubalailo Mutar. Uledoros bein bayom bein balayla oser divrei Rebbe Yehuda. This source, which should be pointed out, is really part of a much larger discussion that will be the subject of the next Omid of Gemara. But by way of introduction, let us just take a look at the Rashi, at the lower part of the page, three lines from the end, Hein Hayom, Hein Mashma, the Elu HaKorbonos, Chalukim Mishar Korbonos, Shaleim, Shamis Lochem, Baninus Laila, Mimnei Shekulanu Oininin, the Ein Kain Lochlon. The prosecutor is featuring the day on which Nadav and Avihu died, and there were several korbanos that were offered on that day, the first of Nisan, the day of the dedication of the Mishkan. And there were certain korbanos that, even though they were in an aninus state, they would be eaten. But those were korbanos that were for that time alone. They were one time in history korbanos, as opposed to korbanos that would be offered every generation. As Rashi goes on to say, Aval d'doros sheish konim l'ochlon bein b'yom bein b'layla oser. But for future generations, where there are other kehanim that are available to eat those korbanos, so the onen himself would be restricted, whether it be by day or by night. So the source goes on to say, Uledoros bein b'yom bein b'layla oser divrei Rabbi Yehuda. An onen is restricted not only during the day, but at night as well. Rebbe Oimer, Aninus Laila, Eino Midivrei Torah Midivrei Sofrim. This is the main point that this source is being brought in, to show that Rebbe holds that Aninus Laila, the nighttime after the day of death, is not D'oraisa. It's Divrei Sofrim, means it's rabbinic. Just if you use the markings, you can see we've dashed underline Midivrei Sofrim, and a few lines up, we dashed underline Midoraisa. Both of these are within a discussion under the name Rebbe. So we would seem to have contradicted the attempt to say that Rebbe holds that Yom Misa would include the night on a Torah level. The Gemara answers, L'olam d'rabbonan hi. Aninus Lailo, even after the day of death, is certainly d'rabbonan. The Chachomim osu chizuk l'divrayim yoiser mishel Torah. The Chachomim treated their rabbinic ruling with greater strength than the Torah treats the same period of time. In other words, the Torah does not aser the night after the day of death. Nevertheless, the Rabbanon do restrict the day after, the night after the day of death. In fact, we know that the Torah does not aser the night after the day of death, and nevertheless, Rabbanan aser the night after the day of even burial. That's what's meant by this expression of Chachomim osu chizuk l'divrayim yoser mishel Torah. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.